Hello, everybody. My name is Carl. I'm one of the pastors of GCCC. It's great to have everyone here and to be together. We're going to be looking at a couple portions of scripture here in a moment. But before we do that, I'm going to ask us all to pray once more as we do that. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for your presence here. The ways that you're speaking to us, the ways that you want to speak to us, the ways you want to impact our lives and the lives of people all around us. Lord, we thank you for the power and reality of your spirit here in this world, here among us. And Lord, as we're looking at a couple passages here in a moment, we're asking that you quicken us. We're asking that you sort of make us that much more alive. We're asking that you make us that much more alive, especially to you. We thank you that you love to do these kind of things. And because of that, we pray with confidence. In your holy name we pray, amen. All right, Christians talk about the story of Jesus as good news. We call it good news. Angels announce good news, we hear in these stories. People proclaim good news. And good news isn't a phrase that someone sort of recently came up with, like, what would Jesus do? This is more of a recent phrase. It's not really in the Bible. What would Jesus do? Maybe some of you had that bracelet. But good news has a really long history. It goes all the way back to ancient Israel and the prophet Isaiah, actually. So I'm going to have us read a couple parts of Isaiah, from Isaiah 58 and then Isaiah 61, partly just because they're so beautiful. We're going to read a few verses from each chapter. So if you could turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58, we're going to read verse 6 and then 10, 11, and 12. So Isaiah 58, verse 6, then 10, 11, and 12. Isaiah says, in speaking the words of God, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?" In verse 10, "If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called repairer of the breach, like a repairer of the wall. You'll be called the restorer of streets to dwell in, like restorer of homes, restorer of cities." That's what's going to happen. That's what we're looking for. Things to be broken. Things that are broken to be repaired. Things that are broken to be fixed. And then we see again in Isaiah 61, okay, along the same lines, Isaiah 61. And we're going to read the first four verses, 61, Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." And again, we're going to hear a beautiful vision of life. "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Good news. This is where we get this phrase, good news, from Isaiah. "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome." Your translation might say favor there, but it's could be translated favor, could be translated welcome. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a second, but "to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they shall be called oaks of righteousness." So in Isaiah 58, people were called repairers of the wall, repairers of breaches, restorers of homes and cities. And here they're called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And what we see in these two passages from Isaiah is this renewal, is a rebirth. It's a fixing. It's a restoration of what's been broken. And very centrally, Isaiah says, this is good news. Good news. This is going to happen, and this is good news. There's going to be a time, they call it the year of the Lord's welcome, when all these good things are going to happen. This is an amazing picture, when mourners will be comforted and given garments of praise. So when will all this happen? That's our question for Isaiah. That's maybe Isaiah's question for himself. When is this going to happen? What has to happen for this all to become a reality? And we actually find an answer to that in Luke chapter 4. And so that's the third passage we're going to turn to. Luke chapter 4 in the New Testament. It's the third book of the New Testament, Luke chapter 4. And we're going to start from verse 16. Or actually, we'll start from verse 14. We'll start from verse 14, and we'll go to verse 21. All right, and this will be the main text that we're looking at, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. That's like his hometown. Those are the sports teams that he cheers for. It's Nazareth teams. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Right there, these two verses, verse 18 and 19, are quotations from Isaiah 58 and 61. And I think what we have here is probably like a summarized version of what Jesus read in the prophet Isaiah. This is a summarized version of his sermon. So just a quick note. So when we read the New Testament, when we read histories, and including histories like the stories about Jesus that we find in Luke and the other gospel writers, we don't necessarily have the like exact words of Jesus, you know, because just think about technology in that time. So they don't have tape recorders, they don't have phones to videotape things, so they're working from memory. Even though their memory might be really good, they're still working from memory. And so today, when we use quotation marks, like in a news article, we're expecting those words to be verbatim what was said. But history was written differently back then, and it's totally fine. It's no less valid or no less legitimate. But that's how they wrote histories back then, just given given what they had to work with. And I think here also, unless we think that Jesus' sermon in the synagogue was like, I don't know, like 30 seconds long. I mean, that's about how long it takes to read verse 18, 19. I mean, that's if you're sort of reading slow and you're taking a lot of dramatic pauses. I mean, it's about 30 seconds. So I'm guessing that his sermon was longer than 30 seconds. Although some of us are like, man, that's incredible. Like, how come Carl can't learn from Jesus and get these shorter sermons? Anyway, but I think the sermon was much longer. I think his passage from Isaiah wasn't just these two verses, but these two verses that Luke quotes here of Jesus saying, they're sort of a conflation of these passages from Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 61. And the idea is that there's a day coming when there's going to be this incredible restoration, this beautiful picture of restoration, of healing and comfort. And this is what happens in verse 20. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him because they're waiting for him to start speaking. It's very dramatic. So verse 20 is very, very dramatic. It's like, I think sometimes I think when I read scriptures, like, what would the soundtrack to the scripture be? I think of like different songs or whatever, but I think for verse 20, it's sort of like a Chris Nolan movie trailer, you know, where it's like, you know, it's that never-ending loop, you know, that's what's happening in verse 20, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. What is Jesus going to say after he just talked about this beautiful picture that Isaiah gives us? And then in verse 21, he drops this incredible bomb. He began to say to them this: today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The time is now. When Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, to turn people into restorers of homes and cities, to turn people into oaks of righteousness, he was talking about me. What has to happen for all this, the contents of this beautiful vision to occur? I have to come, and I have come. I mean, it's wild. It's incredible what he says. Today, all this stuff that Isaiah envisioned, this impossibly beautiful picture, it's happening because I am here. And that's the gist of Jesus' sermon that Luke gives us. I mean, maybe it lasted an hour. You know, maybe it lasted 2 hours. But what we know is that the gist of the sermon was Jesus saying, this is about me. I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome. And I just want to focus today on one phrase from the sermon on Isaiah that Jesus gives. He says that he is here to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome. In Greek, it's the Lord's dekton. And the ESV and other versions too, they translate that word as favor, the year of the Lord's favor. But it can also be translated as welcome. And I think you can translate it as favor, but if you do that, you have to keep in mind that the word favor also suggests a really strong sense of welcome. You know, in fact, just in a few verses, in verse 24, Jesus says, I know I'm not welcome, I'm not dekton in this town. No favor has dekton or receives dekton in their hometown. That word is the same word that we see in this passage from Isaiah, and especially in Luke. This word and this verbal form of this word are so important. And one of Luke's primary images for being close to God is basically hospitality or welcome. So Luke, when you read his writing, doesn't say that people intellectually agreed with God's word and followed Jesus. He says repeatedly that people welcomed or received God's word. It's hospitality language. And here Luke is saying that God welcomes us. God is giving hospitality to us and welcoming us into his house. God is inviting us to be near him. And this is what Jesus says he has come to proclaim. He's proclaiming the year of the Lord's welcome. And this year isn't a 365-day period. It stands for a season, a period in the life of God and people. That year, that season started with the coming of Jesus, and we're still in that season. So we're still in that year today. It's a long year, and we're still in that year. And if there's a banner behind God, if you could just picture with me, there's a banner behind God. That banner says, welcome, because that's the theme of the year. That's this year's theme word, welcome. That's what today is. That's what this year is all about. Welcome. That's what God says. Welcome. You know, this is what's on all of God's swag, all his gear. Welcome. This is what Jesus is announcing as God's spokesperson. The word, if God is like drinking from a mug of coffee in front of you, you know what it says on that mug? Welcome. Amen. Thank you, Sally. Amen. Welcome. You know, the backdrop for all his press conference, it's like welcome, welcome, welcome all over. You know, if God has a tattoo on his face, you know, because he's just so bad, you know, he has this tattoo on his face, that tattoo says welcome. Amen. You're like, God's so bad. Yeah, he is bad. Yeah, he has a tattoo on his face. Anyway, but we're just going to talk about three takeaways here. Three takeaways from this year of the Lord's welcome. All right, simple takeaways. You know, in this series, the season that we're in as a church, we're focusing on practices that help us stay in rhythm with God. Practices that help us stay in rhythm with God. And so we're going to be talking about this. So three simple takeaways. Number one, preach this welcome to yourself. Announce it to yourself. You need to hear Jesus' proclamation today and tomorrow too. See, I think most of us, and I would guess most of the people around us, think that being welcoming generally is really good. And if God is good, God must be welcoming. You know, this is not like so crazy to us. But then when it comes to prayer, you know, when it comes to really talking with God or trying to hear from God, we often tend to feel that God is actually not welcoming. You know, that sort of attention we have. We think, oh, welcoming is good. God is good, so God must be welcoming. But in actual experience, we often tend to feel that, well, I don't know if that welcome's really there. There's this comedian, Judah Friedlander, and he has this really funny shtick about New York City slogan, Welcome to New York. And he says, it's the only city whose slogan is sarcastic. You know, and he's like, yeah, Taylor Swift sings a song called Welcome to New York. And when she sings it, she means it. And he's like, that's not right. So I'm trying to tell you, if you're walking around the city and you happen to see Taylor Swift, like, rob her so that she can learn what her own song means. You know, I sometimes think, like, okay, I wonder if we say that. We know God is welcoming in that. But when it comes to actual lived out life, when it comes to actual practice, maybe that's what we feel. But what we want to say, what we want to hear from Jesus' proclamation is that God is not like that. You know, we might say in our inner thoughts, you know, God, I know I can't be close to you. You know, regardless of the lyrics of these songs that we're singing, like, I know that I can't be close to you, or the words of the prayers that we say. You know, God, I'm here to listen and be sort of worshipful, but I won't engage with you much more beyond that because I don't think you really want me to. Or, you know, in so many words, God, I don't really belong here with you, and I'm not very comfortable here. And I don't feel like you necessarily care to make me so comfortable here, you know? So you do you, I'll do me, and maybe talk to you later. But we have to open our ears, open our eyes, and see that there's this huge banner behind him that says, welcome. He's drinking from that mug that says welcome, that tattoo on his face that says welcome. And Jesus is announcing, just like he did in this sermon in Luke 4, that we are welcomed into God's presence, that we are welcomed into God's friendship. We are welcomed into God's beautiful work. And we are called to say this to ourselves, and we're reminded to speak this to others. And one of the best ways to proclaim something to yourself is to proclaim it to other people. We talked about this last week when we were looking at meditation according to the Psalms, that meditation is often out loud, it's articulated, it's not like private and inward. Proclaim Jesus' good news that God welcomes us. This is the time in history. This is a special season. This is a just a perfect time in history to be welcomed by God. Speak it to people around you. Speak it to people with no church background. You know, people whose goals seem to be just maybe like making money or gaining power or sleeping around or meeting the right person to marry. Speak Jesus' proclamation to them. Welcome, welcome. Tell them his stories. You know, also last week I mentioned this one time. I was a while back, I was playing music, and a friend, not a Christian friend, was there and asked, what are you listening to? And I said, oh, it's a song based on this story Jesus told. It's called The Prodigal Son. Have you heard of it? And she said, no. What is that story? And I told her how the story goes, that there is this father who had two sons, and the one son treated him so badly and left with half his wealth and squandered all and came back to find his father had been waiting for him this whole time. And this father actually runs down the road when he sees his son coming back, and how Jesus says that God is like that father. See, this is a story of Jesus proclaiming God's welcome to us. You know, tell yourself that. Tell others that, including people who know very little about Jesus. Jesus wants them to hear it. Jesus wants us all to hear it, that we belong with him. And I hope that we can all feel that when we are here to worship like this. You know, even if you don't believe in all the Christian tenets and whatnot, and you're working out who God is, I hope we all can feel a belonging with God here. You know, this is a practice that will help us stay in a rhythm of grace. And when we lose sight of this, we easily get out of step with God. Because, you know, I would just say two things often happen. This is just what I noticed. Two things often happen when you don't hear this proclamation from Jesus. One, you get burnt out because you end up trying to make yourself acceptable to God. You try to work at earning God's welcome instead of just hearing Jesus proclaim his welcome to you. And it's very fatiguing. It's very fatiguing. And you just get burnt out. Or two, it's sort of another form of getting burnt out. You just become ambivalent toward God, you know, because, again, it's just too tiring. It's unfulfilling to try to make yourself acceptable to God, to try to earn God's welcome. That's why we need to hear this. We need to hear Jesus' welcome. This is his proclamation. This is a year of the Lord's welcome. All right, second takeaway, don't let other voices proclaim some alternative form of this good news, some perverse form of this good news to you. You know, namely that you can't really belong with God. There's a story that Jesus tells later in this Gospel of Luke, from Luke chapter 19. It's a story of this guy, Zacchaeus. Actually, you know, I'll read it. It's Luke 19. It's about 10 verses. Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was this man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And that's not a compliment to him. Like, hey, he's this guy, he's really rich. He drove a really nice car. That's awesome. No, actually, he's a tax collector. He's rich. He's a wicked person. You know, he steals, you know. He takes advantage of us. In verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he's a small guy. And verse 4, he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. Come down from the tree. So Jesus looks to him in the tree. Zacchaeus, come down because I have to stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus hurried and he comes down and he receives He welcomes Jesus joyfully. And when everyone saw it, they all grumbled. And they say, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods, I give it to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The story of Zacchaeus is a story of sort of like a wrong person hearing the Lord's welcome. And in fact, us understanding that he's exactly the right person that Jesus wanted to proclaim his welcome to. You know, it reminds me of this wedding that I performed for a GCCC couple, a great couple who not too long before their marriage had just started following Christ really seriously. And at the wedding, I ran into someone there who is a longtime friend of the bride, and actually whom I had met just briefly some years before in another city with another church, actually. And she was like, oh, hey, Carl, you know, I'm like, hey, how you been? It's good to see you, and this and that. And she's like, what are you doing here? And like, how do you know the bride? And I say, well, we know each other from church. And she says, oh, like, what is she doing in church? Because she knows she knew this the bride for a long time. And I laughed out loud, and I love that conversation because, you know, when I think of that bride, you know, she heard Jesus' proclamation and changed her life. You know, she wasn't the right person to hear it, you know, just like Zacchaeus. She wasn't the right person to hear it, but Jesus is looking for people just like her to proclaim this good news to. Jesus is looking for people just like you, actually. Jesus is looking for some people just like you to tell you that this is a time of God's welcome, that God welcomes you into his presence, into his beauty, that Jesus died for people just like us, not like perfect people, not religious people, people who, you know, who did Jesus die for? He died for people who don't have their stuff together. He died for people who have questions. He died for people who have moments of clarity about how much they need forgiveness. Jesus died for people just like us, and he wants so much for people just like us to hear his welcome. So, three takeaways. First takeaway, announce this to yourself. Let yourself know every day. Let yourself know every moment what Jesus has proclaimed this year to be the year of. Number two, don't let other voices proclaim some alternative form of this good news to you that, like, oh, that actually does not apply to you, that you can't really belong with God. No. Don't let other voices proclaim that kind of, you know, fake version of good news. Number three, third takeaway, God's concept of a year is different from ours. I mentioned this before, but it's not just 365 days. The year isn't over. It started with the coming of Jesus, and it's going to continue till he comes back. It's a long year. And that proclamation that you heard, maybe you heard this proclamation of welcome a long time ago, and I just want to tell you that that proclamation you heard a long time ago has not faded. It hasn't changed. You know, though you might be going through a different chapter in your life right now, you know, a different chapter from the one that you were in when you first heard this proclamation, it's the same year. It's the same season for God and his welcome to us. Although you and God have a history, good and bad, you know, since that time that you first heard God's welcome to you, the season in God's eyes is still the same. That banner has not changed. The mugs have not changed. The tattoo's still there. God's welcome is for us. Jesus has come to announce good news. And that good news is that we are welcome before God. This is the year of the Lord's welcome. Please stand with me as we pray. This is a really straightforward message. And I just invite you to hear Jesus' proclamation anew today. This is the year of the Lord's welcome. This is a day, this is a time of the Lord's welcome. And I invite you to draw close to God now. You know, just like right here in this moment, I invite you to draw close to God. I invite you to trust God to make something beautiful of your life, to make you a repairer of walls, a restorer of homes, an oak of righteousness that displays his glory. Lord, today we're wanting to hear you, and we're wanting to hear especially your welcome to all of us. And we want to respond to your incredible good news, your powerful proclamation, Lord. And we're drawing close to you together. We're drawing close to you now. Trusting you to have us see your beauty, to be part of the beautiful pictures that you give to us, that we are welcomed into your life. Lord, we draw close to you now. We just hear your proclamation again with humility and with thankfulness and with trust. Let's invite you to sing, and we're just going to continue drawing near to God as we do that.